The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Women's Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericawomen.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff and management.
You've come this far in life, but it doesn't feel as exciting as you hoped. So, what's around the bend? How do you make the changes that are right for you? Welcome to Create Your Inspired Life After 40 with Tracy Gibson and Diane Lloyd. As you start to view the shift in your life, we're here to share the journey and let you know that it's not about living a perfect life, but your inspired life. Now, here are your hosts, Tracy and Diane.
Welcome, everybody, to Create Your Inspired Life After 40. I'm Tracy Gibson, and I'm here with my co-host, Diane Lloyd. And here we are again, Diane, on another radio show. Another week has gone by. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I know. Here we are, show number 4 already. This is exciting that we're here.
It is. It really is. It really is. And last week, for those of you who joined us, we had really inspiring guest on and has definitely left a lot of thoughts in my mind. And we were joined with Karen McCoy last week, and she really talked about fitness, about activity, about what that looks like for women, especially, and women in our 40s. And I know I took quite a bit away from it. And one of the things that I think struck me last week, Diane, was that I have been holding this huge belief for a long time now that I don't like going to a gym. I don't like doing weights. It's too hard. I'm inside. I'm not outside in sort of that natural environment. And that's been shifting this last week after hearing and having that conversation with Karen and really starting to, I'm feeling myself really starting to embrace the ability to say that when I walk in, I loved when she talked about when she was doing weights, that she wasn't just physically working out her body, but she was really mentally working out her body and what that has done for her over the years. And that's been a real shift for me is, okay, it's not just the physical, but the mental piece. And also just kind of coming to some realizations that my body is really needing more than what I'm actually giving it right now in terms of strength, both physically and mentally. So I'm not 100% quite there yet.
What does this mean for you, Tracy?
Well, I'm embracing the opportunity of strengthening my body, and whether that's going to a gym or doing some weights or whatever that is, but strengthening, I think, both my physical and my mental sort of space right now. So it's exciting. It feels exciting. It feels a little bit scary. I'm not going to lie. It feels a little bit scary, but it feels like I'm starting to shift that it's not a bad place to go. Whereas I think in my mind, it was like, it's a horrible place to go. I'm never going inside a gym.
Well, so I'm excited about that. Shift. Yeah, that's a powerful shift and can obviously open up a lot of possibilities for you. So yeah, that's pretty cool that the show can create that for you too.
Yes, as a host. Yeah. So what about you? What did it leave you with last week?
Well, I felt super pumped after the show. And I mean, I'm already enjoying Karen's program, and what I really appreciated, and it's such a great segue to today's show, is Karen's connection between her physical wellness and her spiritual wellness. And to find a trainer and a program that brings those two elements together, you know, the physical, the mental, the spiritual, and the mind, body, spirit, that I've seen those three words together, you know, for years. And I felt like the conversation we had with Karen really helped me understand what that means and the power of it for me to embrace that and not just have physical fitness in this separate container in my life, but to see it as more integrated with other areas of my life that are becoming more and more important to me and I'm curious about. So it felt like a very integrated conversation. I think that's why, like, literally felt my body kind of vibrating after, like, this was powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. It definitely, she just left I think me feeling that way, as you know, and obviously you, and I just want to encourage listeners to read her book. I just read it over the weekend and it really was a great read, and her story is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is, as is our guest today.
Yay! Yes, indeed. So it's a really, it's truly a great honor to be able to have Carmen Spagnola on our, and I hope I'm saying your last name right, Carmen, and we can correct that later. Carmen lives here in Victoria, BC, with Diane and I, and I've had the opportunity to do a little bit of work with Carmen, not much, and I know Diane has had lots of opportunities to be working with Carmen, and I think what we both take away from you, Carmen, is always the amazing insights that you have and the amazing gifts that you have been able to connect with yourself and are actually sharing with the rest of the world. And so I'm not going to really go any further into that. And I think a lot of the things we'll get into today, we'll be able to tap into who you are and what you do. And so thank you so much, Carmen, for being on our show and for being a guest here today. And I truly mean this, for really being, I think, that gift to our world that I'm getting to know a little bit better. I know Diane knows you really well, and we're just really looking forward to having a great conversation with you today. So welcome.
Wow, thank you. It's sincerely my pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. So today we're talking about intuition and spirituality, and really how we can connect to that, and how it's important to actually, that's an important piece to us. And I know one of the questions I sent you, Carmen, was, you know, asking you about what do you believe is important and why is it important to listen to our intuition in our 40s? And Diane said, I don't think she's in her 40s quite yet.
I know, spoiler alert, I'm 6 months away. Well, I'll tell you what, I have been gunning for 40 for many years, and I'm super excited about it. And I have lots of reasons why I think 40 is probably just the beginning of everything. I've been chomping at the bit for a long time. And for at least the last 4 years, my husband has had to keep docking years off my age when people ask me, because I'll say, like, I've been saying, like, oh, I'm 38. And I was saying that when I was 36. And now I'm saying, oh, well, you know, I'm in my 40s. And he keeps, like, putting his hand on my arm and being like, slow down. Not yet.
So I'm going to rephrase that question then, because why do you think it is so important for us to listen to our intuition? And I mean, as we are in our 40s, but as you're nearing your 40s, why do you think it's so important now?
Yeah, I should have read those questions you sent me. First of all, I don't want to sound harsh, because I get asked this a lot, but I don't understand the question. Like, I don't get it. It's sort of like saying, why do you think oxygen is important in your 40s? Like, it's sort of like I can't even quite imagine how one would move through the world without accessing intuition. I mean, I can. I've been that person that tried to suppress and deny. But I, you know, you talked, Tracy, at the start of the show about how you're strengthening both your physical body and your mental body. I cannot imagine a human being less equipped to cope with the ups and downs of life than someone who isn't strengthening their connection with something greater than themselves, that isn't strengthening their spiritual muscles. And that means your intuition. That means taking in a greater range of information than what your mind and your body can take in. And I guess that's the way I conceive of intuition, is that the universe is sending us all this data. And if you're not flexing your spiritual muscles, you're missing a whole bunch of information. So why is it important? I can't think of anything more important. So it's hard for me to answer the question in that way.
Mm. Yeah. And I so appreciate that. And I guess it's when you see people, because people do lose contact with their sense to their spiritual self, to their intuition. So what do you think happens for people that they do lose such that connection?
I think most of us can recognize it happening early with children. And as a hypnotherapist, I notice in my practice, there's a couple of clusters of different ages where I think things are happening that lead to the shutting down of connection with intuition. So as very young children, as babies, we haven't developed our conscious mind yet. We don't have that cognitive functioning that can say, that can analyze cause and effect and also take in complexity. Our conscious mind, our personalities, our ability to rationalize and anticipate rational outcomes doesn't really become fully formed until we're about 8 years old. After about 8 years old, and when our conscious mind is more fully functioning and we've sort of left the realm of nonstop magical thinking, we begin to have a series of, you could call them tiny betrayals, where the world is not as we thought it was. You know, we start to recognize like, hey, sometimes my parents make mistakes or lose their temper, or they, you know, like, hey, sometimes people say they're going to do something and then don't do it. So we start to have all these messages that the world is not actually the magical place that we saw it was. We also get a lot of social messages that being sort of book smart, being logical, having those kinds of cognitive skills, being smarty pants, is rewarded in our culture. And we start to recognize how we demean soft skills like intuition, empathy, and relational skills. And, you know, I hate to be bring everything down to gender, but we do notice that, you know, it's not okay for boys to cry. You know, that, and we kind of always tell kids if they fall down and skin their knee, you're okay, you're okay. So basically what we're saying is every message that they're receiving is wrong. And it causes quite a lot of anxiety in children to start to have this way of knowing be repressed. And I see it in my practice with the age of about 10 to 13, when children are becoming more peer associated and we're trying to fit in, we notice that because intuition is so scorned socially, we develop a lower sense of confidence and a lower spiritual self-esteem. So we begin to repress. And the anxiety is that I know certain things in my heart to be true, but I can't trust them because the outside world tells me that that would be dumb. You know, that would be silly. The other time that I see this clustering, this anxiety showing up is around the age of, I'm going to say 18 to 23. So, you know, we go through that period of time where we're becoming very peer associated and oriented, and we're becoming very aware of feedback from the outside world in our teens. Now, when we're going to leave home in our culture, we don't have rites of passage or initiation rituals that say, just so you know, the universe has got your back. And just so you know, there's something greater than yourself. There's an inner voice that you can listen to that will guide you when you leave. So right at that age where children are graduating and they're in their first years of university, young people, I notice, come to me because they have a kind of unsettled sense of not being safe in the world, of not being able to trust their own voice, of feeling very adrift, alone, and self-conscious. And one of the things we do is we help them address it on the physical and the emotional and the mental levels. But the elephant in the room is that you used to be really intuitive. The world is speaking to you. We keep telling you that it's not valid. And you have this spiritual dissonance within yourself that we're just going to ignore until you're about in your 30s. And then you're going to have to try to figure it out on your own by self-initiating, or, you know, life is going to happen to you. And there will be initiations like breakups, losses, failures, firings, you know, all these things that are supposed to be initiatory events we don't acknowledge on the spiritual level. And so people feel this sense of being adrift and also being alone on that path, as though they're the only person who senses that there might be something bigger than just the physical, emotional, mental levels. And that's all I have to say about that.
Wow. Wow. That, you know, I what I so appreciate about that, Carmen, was really hearing, I think, where it starts from and then how we, you know, are revisited to that. Diana and I went and saw Oprah in the fall. And I remember that one of the things she really talked about was these whispers. And we hear these whispers and we sort of kind of pay attention to them, but then we kind of tune them out. And then all of a sudden the whispers get so loud that they're really starting to hit us over the head like a brick, and we have to really listen to them. And I think what I loved hearing there was that whole progression of when that really started to happen. So we're just going to get ready to head off for a break in just a minute. And just before we do, what do you do? I know this is a big question and we'll follow it up after the break, but you know, give us one thing right now that you do personally to have that deep connection to your intuition and to your soul.
Well, I use a tool. There are tons of different tools that you can use. Everybody will say you should meditate, but in the course of my day, I have a challenging time, breaking off half an hour or 40 minutes to do that. So what I do is I have tools that remind me. So right before this interview, for instance, I just asked, you know, Spirit, what message do you want me to speak for you today? And I just drew an angel card. And, that's just something that I'll do to help me focus in and just remember that there's a greater life force wanting to move through me. And I want to be a vessel for it. That's one thing that you can do. Another thing is just having an altar, you know, little visual reminders through the day to remind you that there's something greater than you acting through you.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to hear so much more. There's so many more things to talk about. And we'll be back with all of you in just a moment.
The Voice America Women's Channel. When you think of inspiring women, who comes to mind? Is it a visionary like Oprah Winfrey? Political or legal figures like Hillary Clinton or Sonia Sotomayor? Or how about entrepreneurial business leaders like Meg Whitman? No matter whom you might be thinking of, make sure to add one more to that list. Deanne DeMarco. She's the host of Today's Inspiring Women. Each week, Deanne turns you on to the next rising star in business and leadership and what their successes and challenges have been. Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment.
As your business grows, are you growing with it? Do you have the right balance of time, attention, work, and personal life? Take the growing pains out of growth and tune into The Business Edge with Marcia Zeidel. If you are spending most of your energy managing problems rather than focusing on taking your business to the next level, our program will give you the steps you need to make sure you have everything in place for forward-thinking business leadership. The Business Edge is heard every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Create Your Inspired Life After 40 with Tracy Gibson and Diane Lloyd. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or you can send an email to coach@inspiredresultsgroup.com. Now, back to Create Your Inspired Life After 40.
Welcome back, everybody. Tracy Gibson and I are here with Carmen Spagnola having an amazing conversation about intuition and spirituality. And there are so many different directions we can take this conversation today. And Carmen has so much to share. And what I'm really curious about, Carmen, is for you, if you can tell us about, I know you have a compelling story, and I'd love to know how your connection to spirit and the turning point for you in your life, how that showed up and what happened for you after that turning point.
Sure. I think, well, I mentioned earlier that in our culture, in the West anyway, we don't have rites of passage and shared initiation events that we all gather around. We do the usual things like graduation and perhaps marriage and that, but it's rare that we connect to inner transformations that are happening. It's usually when we have an outer status change that we'll gather as a community. Mm-hmm. But what happens is life provides you with different initiatory events.
Yes, it does.
So I mentioned, you know, all the losses earlier. For me, the turning point where my relationship with spirit and my intuition deepened was the initiating event. And that was the very public failure of my business that led to bankruptcy. So there's already enough shame and social scorn around being an intuitive person. And then when you sort of come out into the world and say, like, I'm going to follow my dream, and then it doesn't work, there's quite a lot of inner tension in your relationship to, you know, your higher self. What happened for me was, you know, I had a normal job, but I kept getting these very intuitive messages that started when I was pregnant, actually, because, you know, pregnancy is a very interesting time where another consciousness is growing within your own body. So you're pretty open. And I was having very predictive dreams and just a ton of synchronicities. And I also just had the feeling that something wasn't right in my life. And that's usually the precursor to an initiation in your life. Something's just not right. It's just a sort of constant low-grade feeling of unease or unhappiness that you can't quite pinpoint. The long story short was I started following my intuition and connecting the dots on the synchronicities that led me to open up a business that was what you might call like a conscious enterprise, or not exactly a social venture, but I had a store that was all eco-friendly materials, furniture, and things like that. And I was quite, I sort of peaked right in like 2007 when, you know, Vanity Fair had Al Gore on the cover and everything was about green is the new black. Mm-hmm. And so I experienced quite a lot of success, very public success, you know, in magazines and really, you know, HGTV and different, you know, national radio shows, television shows. I would be on stage with, you know, titans of industry speaking as the voice of ethical small business. And then in 2009, everything was totally washed away in a global recession, which I internalized as me being punished for thinking I was so great, that I had, you know, some kind of potential that was greater than just working for the man. And I felt very betrayed by my intuition. Mm. And after quite a long period of depression and selling off everything that I owned and being too ashamed to tell friends and family about what I was facing in bankruptcy, and also at the point where I, you know, I found myself in a parking lot of the welfare office because I had, you know, about $192 left and there was, you know, rent was coming. And every day I was sitting in that parking lot waiting for a time when the welfare office would be empty, so I could kind of just sneak in and say, like, I really need help. And I was so ashamed because I'm a very privileged person. I'm a white woman in the West. I'm educated, you know. I had everything going for me. That's how I felt. And so here I would be taking from other people. So finally I realized that actually there's never a time when the welfare office is empty. And I had to go in, and I was so ashamed. I couldn't take my eyes up off the floor. And, you know, they had a person who helped me fill out the paperwork, and she asked me, how much money do you have? And I said, $192, feeling, you know, completely humiliated and embarrassed. And the look on her face made me think like, oh my God, I'm such a loser, because she looked really just uncomfortable for a moment. And then she said to me, I'm really sorry, but you're going to have to come back on Monday after you've spent some money, because you don't qualify for welfare unless you have only $150.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I remember just thinking, after everything I went through just to even get there, and you're saying, yeah, no, you're too wealthy. Like I couldn't deal. And I was so angry with spirit that I basically went home and had like a mental tirade, where it was like, where are you now? I followed all the signs. Where are you now? And this was one of the early numinous experiences in my life. Numinous is when you are in the presence of something so awesome that you are filled with both fear and fascination. And what I felt was this incredible sense of inner peace, and this, it was sort of like a voice speaking in my heart that said, I've been here the whole time. Where have you been? And what I realized is that I had spent months berating myself, telling myself how stupid I was, feeling embarrassed, feeling ashamed of myself, and so much so that I was denying any assistance because I didn't feel I deserved it. I didn't feel worthy of it. And that was a big moment for me to realize that spirit can't help me if I'm not there for myself. And so I had to drop all of my inner sort of self-loathing and shame around that, and surrender and say, I need some help. And then all of these miracles started to happen. And it was a big moment for me when I realized that actually that failure, it was like going at 100 miles an hour and hitting a brick wall. And I never would have headed for it of my own volition. But following your intuition and failing doesn't mean that you were erroneous in doing so. It means that sometimes that brick wall's got your name on it, and you have to go through that pain in order to experience what it takes to create a greater capacity for self-love, for forgiveness, for compassion, for all these sort of big, heady virtues that we talk about, but that we frequently deny ourselves, because those are the little ways that spirit can get in and connect with you. But if you don't feel worthy of it, you're gonna get these big lessons that help get you there. So I had been following my intuition. It was the exact right thing to do. That was the exact kind of initiation I needed so that I could get over myself.
Yeah. Do we, you know, I just have to ask this question because it's just in my mind. Do we have to hit the brick wall, Carmen, in order to connect with our intuition, or is there another way?
Absolutely. You know what? Everybody wants to be rescued. Of course. Of course we do. And so we hope that connecting with our intuition means that we're going to be inoculated from pain, right? Because we're going to get all the answers. But the very first rule of connecting with your intuition, or the very first thing you need to do, is release your need to know. Because that's not engaging with the mystery. That's the mental level. If I just break this down enough, then I can use it to my own benefit, right? The mystery, the thing in the West with relating to spirit, is that we think that given enough time and space, we can explain everything. And quite frankly, that's just not the way the universe works. And there's a creation, a maintenance, and a destruction cycle to everything, even ourselves, even our egos. So yes, absolutely, we have to go through those experiences, because they're where we actually find ourselves. That's where we actually find the inner sense of ground, and where we actually make contact with what I call the you ahead of you that's willing you forward. You have to go into those dark places. Otherwise, you're living a flat, neutral life. That's just that's just the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very alluring too, right? Like you realize like, yeah, of course I don't want to feel pain. But once you experience the richness of it, when you're really like, okay, I've got lots to make meaning from here, there's a kind of, it's called the golden shadow, right? That's what Carl Jung called it. It's that there's something good in everything. And even the golden shadow, that can just become so compelling because it adds a richness to every dimension of your life.
And this is such a powerful thread, and I'm wondering how listeners are taking this in. You know, this sounds scary. This sounds painful, this intuition journey. Oh my gosh. And, you know, I would say for me, definitely closed and unaware 3-4 years ago of the potential of intuition and trusting myself and understanding spirit and how there is a bigger universe at play here. And I'm just a small part of that. And it's been a journey of trust and faith for me in exploring my intuition with you and on my own through your program, the Numinous School. And so can you speak a little bit about having trust and faith along this journey?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's an interesting tension in the world that, again, we don't like to talk about, because I think we think that if we don't talk about these things, about the value in pain, for instance, then it won't happen to us. Like, we think that if conversation makes it infectious,
right, yeah,
or contagious, right?
I'm just gonna put my head in the sand and it won't
exactly
happen to me.
And then nothing bad will ever happen to me. And the fact is, bad things are happening all the time, and the amount of meaning we can make of it is in direct proportion to the amount of love and joy and capacity we can experience no matter what's happening in our outer life. There's so people talk about this word synthesis a lot. We want to synthesize our learnings. We want to synthesize all these disparate experiences in our lives and bring them together. And exploring your intuition helps you do that. But it's very important to recognize a couple of principles, which you mentioned the Numinous School, and these are sort of founding principles of the Numinous School. So spirit works in paradox. That's the first thing. So if you want to experience a greater capacity for love, you have to experience the loss and lack of it. If you want to experience a greater capacity for joy, you have to really want it. And spirit makes you want it by giving you depression and darkness. That, you know, this is just how it works. And that is what synthesis truly is. Hegel, the philosopher, describes synthesis beautifully. So you have the thesis, and then you have the antithesis. And when you bring them together, they create a higher truth, and that's synthesis. And you get this all the time in spirituality, right? It's like you can't have the light without the dark, right? You bring them together and you have this higher truth. So what we're going for with intuition is not an inoculation from pain. We're not trying to predict the future. We're trying to interpret what's going on in our lives so we can make meaning and really mine the riches of it. So a story that I think it's Michael Mead originally shared this story, and he's a mythologist, and he talks about how in Africa, the old lions, who are not as fast and as quick at hunting, they get, when the pride goes out to hunt, all the old lions go on one side of a valley, and all the young fast lions, the real skilled killers, go on the other side of the valley. So then when prey comes through the middle, the old lions roar so loud, because that's what they're good at, right? The big tenor, the big bellow. And that sends the prey running across the valley, tiring themselves out so that the young ones, those young hunters, can take down the prey. So the people, the humans in those villages that are out with, when they hear the lion, what they tell the young people is, run towards the roar. The roar is scary, but it's what's hiding that's quiet that'll kill you. So this is the thing. Intuition may seem like a scary thing. It's like, oh my God, I have to face my shadow. I have to face the darkness. That's the easy stuff. The hard part is getting blindsided and not being equipped on a spiritual level to handle all of the natural ups and downs that come with life. So yeah, it's sort of like, which is scarier to you, being blindsided or being well prepared and facing your fate with dignity, even if it's a difficult, even if it's a cancer diagnosis, even if it's a divorce, even if it's the death of a child, which would you rather be? And so this, the little ways of connecting with our intuition help sort of tone us and tune us for the bigger things that are going to come. And we're all going to face the big mystery at the end of life, right? Nobody knows what happens when we die. And so if you can get comfortable with the mystery and have an intimate relationship with the unknown where you welcome it as a teacher rather than a threat, you know, I just think we'll all be much more equipped for the conversation that none of us really wants to have.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And
how's this for a pep talk?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm about. You know what? Scare people away from this idea. But you know what? Actually, for the first time when you were just talking there, I just had this awareness of, you know, on my conscious level, I would say, you know, the scariest decisions I've made in my life have always been the best decisions, even though they terrified me, because it put me into that uncomfortable place. And so these weren't blindsides. These were things I chose to do or to take on. But Carmen, I've never actually acknowledged that I listened to my intuition in those moments and made those choices, even though they scared me. Something was pulling me in that direction. And that's what that was. So I just had to share that with you because I've never really made that connection before.
Yeah, well done. And so you've been exercising and flexing your muscles so that now that you are consciously exploring this, you can appreciate that more, that actually there is a real benefit to listening to your intuition, right? It's mm-hmm. been, you've proven already, you have a track record that it is worth listening.
And yeah, so I'm having my own little moment here because that wasn't, I never really could acknowledge that I'd listened to my intuition. I really couldn't see it for a long time. So this work with you and with the Numinous School is really empowering, although we've made it sound a bit scary in so far today, but
scary
it really
for you.
I'm
excited
empowering.
About this stuff. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, I hate that clients come to me all the time and like they're going through a total crisis, and I have to say to them, like, I'm really sorry. I don't want to diminish your pain, but I'm really excited for you because you're having a huge opening right now.
There's so much on the other side of this that's awaiting you. Yeah. Yeah. I bet you have to manage that giddy smile because
I do.
What?
Yeah, I totally do. Yeah. I'm really happy for them because I can see all of the markers, but yeah, it doesn't make the pain go away, but we go into deep witnessing and really revere and honor the sacred pain.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, we're going to head into a break now, but we're really looking forward to coming back with more with Carmen Spagnola, exploring intuition and spirituality.
Voice America Women's Channel, a leader in the forward movement of women's success.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Women's Channel. And join us for a replay of the show on Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
If you are a woman who is in a transitionary state of your life, such as a divorce, marriage, upcoming retirement, changing jobs, or even careers, there are usually many financial decisions that you may be faced with. On Women Be Wise, host Darlene Gilmore can help with some important advice on a variety of subjects for women in almost any state of their financial lives. You'll want to listen every Thursday morning for Women Be Wise at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to Create Your Inspired Life After 40 with Tracy Gibson and Diane Lloyd. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or you can send an email to coach@inspiredresultsgroup.com. Now, back to Create Your Inspired Life After 40.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Tracy Gibson, and I'm here with my co-host, Diane Lloyd, and we've been having an absolutely fabulous conversation with Carmen Spagnola all about intuition, spirituality, and really getting connected to our souls and to you. Carmen, thank you. And I've written it down, run towards the roar. That was such a powerful thing. We have to actually run towards the roar, and that the quiet is the part that can actually get us in the end. Mm-hmm. So super powerful to have that.
Thank you.
I am wondering if you can give a little bit of insight to our listeners, because I know you've got tons of practical things that our listeners could start to do to really start to feel a lot more connected to their soul, to their spirituality, and really listening to their intuition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, okay. In the last segment, I started by saying there's sort of three principles in the Numinous School. So the Numinous School is my online intuition development course. I want to tell you about the second two then, because it really gets more into like, okay, well, what's this look like in the nitty gritty? Mm-hmm. So the second principle is that spirit speaks through metaphor. So what I mean by that is that, you know, the life force that animates all things doesn't speak English. Like, you have to figure out what is the language that your intuition is using to speak to you. And some of us are more physically intuitive. We can sense and feel things, you know, or we're very connected to nature. And that feels like an entryway into getting inspiration and insights. Other people are more emotionally intuitive, meaning they can pick up on what's not being said in conversation, or they sometimes can physically feel tightness in their tummy when they know someone else is feeling stressed. I have a lot of parents, for instance, you know, because most of my practice is women over 40. Lots of women who are either parents or particularly ones who are in the helping professions like nursing and you know, medical and body work and that sort of thing, physically feel the strain in their own bodies, which is why they go into helping practices, because their bodies feel better when they can fix stuff for other people. Mm-hmm. Some of us are more mentally intuitive. Now, the mental intuitive can just intuit logic. So they don't ever use the word intuition because they're like engineers, you know, they're mathematicians, you know,
but
things come to them fully formed, and they can get quite impatient with having to break it down for some people. Other people are more spiritually intuitive, meaning they've always had a sense of, you know, something greater than themselves. They tend to be pretty adept at sensing energy or reading the signs from the universe. But for those of us that need to work on it, we need to enter through a different part of our minds. So I wasn't born as a psychic or medium. I wasn't that at all. I was a person who always had a strong, very well developed yearning for connection with something greater than myself. But I wasn't brought up with religion or spirituality or anything. So the way that I needed to enter it was through poetry and through imagery and mythology and our collective stories from the collective unconscious and the psyche. So you need to find the way that works for you. And in my course, that's how, you know, we kind of break it down and make it really step by step. It's much friendlier than everything that I'm describing here today.
It is. That's true.
Yeah, it is. But you start to develop a sense of what symbols and images and sensory experiences you have in your body mean for you and what that means spirit is saying to you. And the third thing is Joseph Campbell said that, you know, ritual is us keeping up our end of the conversation with spirit. So let's say you're experiencing all these synchronicities and it's adding up to a pattern for you and you want to respond. Well, you need to have some kind of ritual. Ritual can be something, you know, elaborate. Maybe you go off on a retreat and that becomes like a big ritual for you. But for most of us, it's going to be sitting down in, let's say, meditation or contemplation. It's going to be learning how to use oracle cards. It might be going and getting, you know, a tarot card deck or something and just starting to work with imagery. It might be, like I said earlier, like creating an altar, like getting crystals, whatever. It doesn't have to be any of those things in particular. It might be that you walk to a certain tree and you sit at that tree and really experience kind of the vibration and the hum of the earth every day. The point is that you show up at a particular time and day and with some consistency to play in the realm of the mystery. And that sends the suggestion to the universe, and you are a pattern maker in the universe. If you start to establish this pattern, it will respond. It will start to mold itself towards you and lean in to want to dialogue with you more intimately. So there's a ton of different ways to start to expand your intuition. It's just important to recognize that we're all intuitive, and it's kind of like, you know, in a Myers-Briggs, we all have these different aspects within us, but some are dominant and some, you know, it might become something else might become dominant at a different time in your life. Maybe you're more sensing it first and you're more perceiving later, whatever it is. So we all are intuitive. We just need to find our point of entry, and then we need to be diligent and have a certain amount of discipline in showing up and being in dialogue with the greater forces. Because, you know, if you're experiencing all the synchronicity and you don't respond, you're basically rejecting spirit and you're shutting down that part of you that feels like that inner voice that's saying, I think I should listen to this. It may seem crazy to everybody else, but it has a rightness to it that I want to follow. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, I there's a ton of different ways to enter it, but I generally suggest that people either start with a tool or start with something that puts them in the zone, like dance, hiking, you know, anything where you are in kind of a light trance state, actually, where you can, wherever you get your good ideas coming to you, you want to start to carve out space to do that more frequently.
I like that's a good description of it. I love that.
Yeah. And it sounds like there has to be some gentleness that happens within that process, because it could, or what's your experience? Like, is, can you get sidetracked on that as well? Or,
People are so critical of their inner lives. Oh my God. Yeah. That's the big thing, right? Is the self-talk that says you're making this up, you know, this is dumb, this feels weird. All of that we need to put into the larger context that, first of all, intuition has been long associated with the feminine, right? It's a mysterious way of knowing, and what is feminine makes us weak. And so we avoid those things that are feminine, right? So you can see how this scales up into our lives, that we start to demean and denigrate our intuition. And so we internalize it, and our self-talk that says, I'm making this up, this is dumb, you know, I'm self-aggrandizing or whatever, is the number one thing that derails us. It's very important to recognize that, yes, your intuition has to come through your consciousness. Of course, it's going to communicate with you in that way. There's this great line in George Bernard Shaw's play called Saint Joan. It's about Joan of Arc. And of course, Joan of Arc was hearing all the voices, right? Mm-hmm. And her guard that was imprisoning her really didn't want her to get burned at the stake. He's falling in love with her. So he's desperate for her to recant. And he says, Joan, can't you understand? Don't you see that the voices are just in your head? And Joan of Arc says to him, of course they are. How else would God communicate with a human? Right? It's like, of course it's going to come through your imagination. That's the gateway to the collective. Right. That's the gateway to the super consciousness, of course. So you need to allow yourself to play and not be so critical. You need
to
allow
yourself.
It's not going
to arrive in the mail.
Exactly. It's not going to come like a script, right? You have to, what I say to my clients is, give yourself permission to savor the experience more than the explanation. You've got your whole life to analyze and interpret it, but give yourself permission to just have the experience and enjoy it.
I love that. I love that. And I think when you were talking, the thing that kept coming up to in my mind, and the question that's kind of right there for me, is we as coaches, I think, talk a lot about those gremlins, talk a lot about the fears that can sometimes be real challenges, real blocks in terms of moving forward. So what do you think is the, like, the difference between listening to your intuition and a fear, or is there a difference, or is it kind of integrated all into together?
Well, that's where some more personal guiding is helpful, like having your own training and recognizing what does it feel like in your body, and what does a yes feel like for you, what does a no feel like for you. And everybody, when I say feel, that's just for the sake of convenience. Some people have a visual sign, some people you know, have something auditory, you know? Mm-hmm. So everybody has something different. It's worth exploring what it is for you. Absolutely. It's hard for me to talk about fear because, like, hey, I'm a hypnotherapist. I deal with phobias every day. I deal with mm-hmm. people's inner gremlins. That's what we do, is we go to the subconscious, the source, and we just clear it. We just integrate it and deal with it. But honestly, as a citizen of the planet, I'm honestly super sick and tired of people using their fear as a crutch. Mm. Because the world needs your medicine, so lay that down. Because when we don't retrieve the medicine that we know is inside us, when we don't express the gifts that we came in to this world with, everybody suffers. And it used to be, and still is in many cultures, that the elders know that kids don't just come in with nothing, right? They come in with a particular affinity and a particular proclivity towards certain things that help us all. And so we need, as the adults in our society, to just stop acting like children and initiate ourselves by reclaiming our intuition and saying, I'm so done with being afraid of my life. I want it all. And so that includes embracing all the parts of things that I'm afraid of. It's not that they don't exist. It's that I'm not going to let them stop me from bringing my medicine to the world anymore.
I like Woo-hoo. That. Woo. It kind of actually, it really, that is such a good segue into the next question I have is really, if you could have that conversation with your 20-year-old self and you've shared a story and a journey of that, you know, of yourself, what would you tell her? What would you tell her? Knowing what you know now, what would you tell her?
Oh God, you got me with that one, Tracy. I'm a little choked up. All I would tell my 20-year-old self is you are loved and you are lovable. Mm-hmm. Because that's the thing, right? Is we mm-hmm. think that we're not worthy of spirit. You know, we shy away from our intuition because that leads us to something greater than ourselves. And most of us don't feel worthy or ready to receive that much love. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't tell her she needs to do anything or be any different. Mm-hmm. I would just tell her you're loved and you're lovable and get ready for it. Cause when it all comes to you, your body will feel way too small. You know, mm-hmm. It really stretches us. It really stretches us to be able to receive that much unconditional acceptance and infinite love. And that's what it feels like when you're connecting with that intuitive and spiritual part of yourself. It's overwhelming. In a good way.
Mm. Mm. Thank you. Yes. I think that's a message I would want to turn back and tell my 20-year-old self too. And I can actually feel that overwhelming telling that 20-year-old self that. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Carmen.
Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. So what would you, you know, we talk about here on our show, Diane and I, you know, talk a lot about this in our workshops, is, you know, that creating that inspired life. And so just as we're getting here, getting close to wrapping up our show, what would you say is your version of living an inspired life?
You know, it's funny. My husband and I were on a little trip. It was Valentine's Day this year, the weekend of Valentine's Day. And we were like, it's Valentine's giver. Like, cause we did like a fun thing, like every night for 3 days. And then we went off on this weekend to a little cabin on an island. And we were having this conversation about like visioning our lives. What's the perfect day? And I said, mm-hmm. Well, I think I'd start with an amazing latte brought to me by my hunky husband, which is what actually does happen every day.
That's good.
Yeah. And then, because we have a great sheep. And then, you know, we'd maybe spend a bit of time in the garden and looking at the honeybees. And then we'd probably eat some wonderful homemade charcuterie and some wine. And we'd have some really good, deep discourse about, you know, the world or soul or change or whatever. And then we'd probably, you know, like, have a bath together or like go outside. We'd read, we'd listen to some CBC and we'd fall asleep under the stars. And then we kind of looked at each other. We're like, so pretty much today. And we were like, yeah, pretty much here's today. I think one of the wonderful side effects of being really connected with my spirit is that I don't want what I haven't got.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I mean, this has just gone by so fast. I honestly could be here for so much longer hearing you talk and just being a part of this. It's just been an incredible hour. I can't believe it's gone by so fast. We've been with Carmen Spagnola. If you'd like to visit her, you know, visit her website at carmenspagnola.com. And, you know, she's got lots to offer. And we hope you've enjoyed your time with us here today on Create Your Inspired Life After 40. Next week, we have a special guest, Stephanie Marchant from Nutrition Mom, who's going to talk to us everything about nutrition. So have a fantastic week, everyone. And we will see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening this week. Please join Diane Lloyd and Tracy Gibson for another edition of Create Your Inspired Life After 40 next Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Women's Channel. Now, go live your inspired life.